Welcome to another episode of the Spiritually Persistent Entrepreneur with your host, Sharon Wilson, founder and chief inspiration officer of coaching from Spirit Institute and master spiritual business mentor. The intention of this show is to provide transformational tips, tools, strategies, and resources that support and empower you to soar and shine in your business now. Enjoy.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited that you're listening in, and I'm so excited for our guest today. In her talk today, she'll be sharing about how to be a wealthy, sustained healer. We all want to know about that, right? So let me introduce you to our amazing guest today. She's a self-starter, bright, focused, and innovative person, and she walks her talk, is spiritually inclined, and only gets involved if she truly believes in something. The moment you meet her, you know something special is going on. She lives with the thought that each person she meets is valuable. She's warm, approachable, and quietly professional. You know immediately that she's willing to fully engage in you. Don't we all want to connect with people like that? She lives in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, is the mother of her two favorite people, her daughter, Chloe, and her son, Ocean. With her new title of Yaya, she gets to add to that favorite list her beautiful grandchildren, Brinley and Cashton. I'm so excited and grateful to have with us today, Deb Drummond. Deb, thank you for being here today.
Sharon, thank you so much for asking me to come and be with your community. I appreciate that.
Well, we are so excited. So, Deb, you know, because my podcast is called The Spiritually Persistent Entrepreneur, I ask all of my guests, what does being a spiritually persistent entrepreneur mean to you?
Well, I'm in my 31st year of being a entrepreneur in the world of spirituality. I mean, I think that they go the same, right? I think it's difficult to be in this business if you're not of this business. And so I think the persistence has been coming to the understanding that many times when you want to go to the next level, that sometimes the universe likes to play a little, I'm going to test you. Do you really want to go to this level? Do you really want to do this reach out? Do you really want to, you know, bring on this new division in your business? And come to expect the challenges that will present themselves, because I believe that we're creating new neural pathways. We're like, okay, I'm here. I might be uncomfortably comfortable, but to stay persistent in your achievement of your divine reason or divine why, it's not always going to be comfortable. So I think if you know that, then you can adapt that, prepare for that. And it allows being persistent that much further. Sometimes I think people get confused about everything's supposed to flow. It's only a yes if it flows. And I don't believe that. I believe that if it is a spiritually divine why, then we need to recognize there's going to be a bit of both. And sometimes it's going to be grit and sometimes it's going to be flow.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's so important, especially for those of us that, you know, have been in business over 20 years, right? I mean, we know that, you know, what's the definition of flow anyways? And it doesn't necessarily mean everything always works exactly the way that you think it needs to work. That's oftentimes, you know, people's definition of flow. And really, I love how you talk about the whole idea of your divine why. And it really is about having that persistence and having that faith. So we're going to talk more about that. But Deb, can you just share one challenge that stands out that you faced that's helped you to activate that more in you? What we were just talking about, being a spiritually persistent entrepreneur.
Well, you know, when you say that, I just kind of go with one of the first things that popped into my mind. And I remember when you've been in business as long as we have, Sharon, you know, you've gone through economic changes in the world around you. Sure. Some things we don't have control of. I think we only have control of our state and how we perceive things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's times where life happens. And when you're running a business, I remember I had a holistic health studio for 27 years. I was responsible for 18 staff. Or I felt responsible for 18 staff. We were doing a lot of healing and a lot of helping. And 2008 came, and then 2009 came, and then 2010, we really started to see the effects of what was going on kind of that, you know, repercussion, and things started to really change. We had to adapt to a new marketing model. We had to get very creative in how we were going to stay sustained as a massage business, where people looked at it at that time. And I'm just trying to think, you know, I mean, obviously that was 2010, that was 13 years ago. People were not of the mindset yet that the holistic services was necessary. They were an accessory. They right. were something that was, if I wanted to treat myself, it was, you know, and it's difficult, you know, to get people to understand that nutraceuticals, you know, organic food, massage, aromatherapy, self-care was necessary. I mean, it's soul necessary, but when the economy is going funky, I remember we had to really get very creative, strap down and make some really considerable decisions to stay sustainable. And we did, you know, we managed to stay sustainable, but it was the first kind of world economic crisis that my companies ever went through.
Mm-hmm. So I usually ask people then, what is the spiritual theme or divine curriculum in that? And so what would you say from that one example, kind of sort of what you wish you knew then that you know now, having gone through that, it was really kind of the theme or the divine curriculum for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've always known I'm meant to be in service. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I was in the music industry, I was the happiest cocktail waitress in the world. Mm-hmm. And when I looked back on all of the things that I did, it was being in service. So if I was giving you a massage or I was serving you your favorite cocktail, I still had joy because the recipient was having joy. Mm-hmm. It didn't really matter what the medium was. I was just kind of that conductor in that. When we were going through that change and going through that challenge, we really held on to, we knew how important the work was. We knew how important the healing was. We remembered all the people that were like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we had to get realistic. I mean, let's get real. Mm-hmm. And that's when one of the things I started to learn is about, that's the power of a business plan. That's mm-hmm. the power of reverse engineering. That's the power of digging into the numbers. Sometimes in the world of wanting to make people feel better and in the world of holistic, that stuff kind of gets put aside. And I called in a friend of mine who was the first millionaire in Canada under 30. And trust me, they were not necessarily into aromatherapy. And I was like, I need help. I need to know what to do here. And he was sitting on the couch and so was my psychic. And we had a very incredible business meeting based on where I was supposed to go and what I was supposed to do psychically, my own intuition. And this man brought in the linear piece that we needed. He's like, you need to scale and you need to scale at this. And you're going to need to change your studio in this direction. You need to bring in one person. And I know, Deb, that you love to give one client 890 square feet. Well, you're going to give them 445. Get over it. You know, so we had to have those. We had to bring in that piece in a way we had not yet had to really draw from before. And it was the forefront of the decision. And we knew we wanted to serve. We knew we needed to serve. And then we weren't willing to give that up. But what did that mean we had to do to change?
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, that is so powerful. So let's just, I mean, that really segues really beautifully into the whole idea of, you know, how to really be a wealthy healer, be sustained in your business. You know, these heart-centered businesses, right? Can be healer, coach, you know, we're kind of using healer in an umbrella kind of way here. Mm-hmm. So, I love when you told me the story, and I wanted you to just share with people about why your husband was so upset when you paid the Visa bill when you had no money. So yeah. Now I can understand why you might be upset when there's no money and you're paying a Visa bill. So, but why don't you share with people how that relates to this whole idea of being a wealthy healer?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That was in the very beginning years of my business. And it was the days where you actually wrote a check to Visa mm-hmm. and you put it in the mail.
Right.
So without dating myself, right? People like, there's people listening to us share and they're like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I don't even like, oh, mail. Like a check. Like I think, you know, so anyways, there was used to, you know, you used to get your bills in the mail and you had to write a check to them. And so I was starting off my practice. I was my daughter was wanted, but not expected. So we were not financially prepared. My daughter's father at the time had just recently arrived from Montreal. So he was new, working out, you know, having income come in. I was starting my massage practice. Again, it was 30 years ago. It wasn't as popular. There was no Starbucks and there was no yoga. Get this. There was no yoga studios in our city. Okay. So we had to educate people on you needing massage. I was photocopying my flyers and pasting them all around my local area. And if it was a good week, I went to Kinko's and printed off color flyers. And if it was not a financially flourishing week, it was black and white. I mean, really, those were the business decisions I was making. And yeah, so, you know, we would have things come in on our visa bill and I was not revenue generating, not that much. And the bill would come and I would write the check. And, you know, my daughter's father was not of a holistic background. It wasn't in his learnings and his teachings as he was growing up, neither mine, but he was in the restaurant industry and it didn't appeal to him. I mean, it just didn't appeal to him. It wasn't his thing. And so I would say to him, well, if I write this check and I put it in here and I mail it, that's just that's just like jumping off the cliff. It's like having a whole lot of faith. And he's like, no, it's ridiculous. Like it's absolutely ridiculous. And we didn't have the money and I did it month after month, after month, after month. And to this day, I make those kind of decisions. And I'm not telling you out there to go and just, you know, put your money down. You do you, right? You do you. But for me, it was a message to the universe that said, I'm going to put myself on the hook for this. I know I have this. I know I need to create it. And you're going to co-create this with me because this bill needs to be paid. Mm-hmm. And I have tested that even in the beautiful home that I'm in right now. When I came and looked at this home, I was going through a marital status change and I did not have resources. And I just knew I needed this. And so somehow I got enough money up for the damage deposit. I didn't even have enough to pay the first month's rent. I put the damage deposit down and I'm like, okay, let's get to co-creating very quickly, shall we? Mm-hmm. And I've been here 13 years and I've never not paid the rent and most times paid early.
I mean, I just love that because that's such a demonstration of faith, you know, it's that you put that out there and then there was just, you know, failure wasn't an option, right? I mean, you had to line up with the, you know, the desire, the belief, the expectancy all had to line up. So Deb, and, you know, we can just scratch the surface and we definitely want to have you come back again. We often have people come back, but let's just begin this conversation about this idea of how to become a wealthy healer. And again, I'm saying this to all these heart-centered folks, you know, that you all are healers, regardless of what the particular business is that you are in, right? Mm-hmm. So anyone that's listening to the Spiritually Persistent Entrepreneur, you know, you're a healer. So you just energetically just know that. You wouldn't even be listening to this if that was not part of your divine why and your divine calling in terms of how that shows up in your experience or how it translates. That's all more about you and how you're wired. But Deb, can you share a little bit more about what are some of the key things you would suggest for people when they're listening to this and they're saying, you know, that's what I want, Deb. I want to be a wealthy sustained. And that's the key thing too, is sustainability over years, you know, perpetual income flow, right? You know, the idea of really being able to count on the fact that, you know, that money is like air and, you know, prosperity is like air. And we have this abundance of air. We don't think, oh my gosh, there's not enough air around. I better, you know, breathe in as much as I can, you know, today. So what would you start to share with people, Deb, about how they can begin to start getting into that mindset to start with?
Yeah, I really appreciate that you say that let's scratch the surface because that's kind of where we are. And I think everybody is at their different place of this, this belief around abundance and wealth. And most people have heard, I know I need to be sustainable. I can't give to others if I haven't given to myself. Like we conceptualize things. Mm-hmm. We've read books like The Wealthy Barber, Tithe Yourself 10%. And, you know, we read things and we take them in in different levels. Sometimes we read and we don't take it in at all. And sometimes we read a book and we can't read it fast enough and digest it fast enough and adapt it fast enough. So everybody's at their whole, at that level of scratching the surface. You might be scratching the surface of a whole new level that you want to get to. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're already sustainable. Maybe you don't have anyone chasing you to pay the bills, but you don't have extra. Mm-hmm. You don't have more. You can't really give in a way that you want to give, because then it would be taking away from you, right? I mean, that's the other side to being a servant leader is that I always say we'll bleed out. And I know, because I've done 30,000 treatments, and I'll tell you, if any one of them had walked in my door and said, you know what, I can't afford to pay, but I really need this, I would have been like, let's do it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just who we are. Whether, like you said, whether we're coaches or we're healers or we're speaking and we're healing, whatever we're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things to realize is to really, on a cellular level, understand the word value, mm-hmm. like really understand the word value and really understand. And I got this lesson very early on. I was a single mom with a child, and I was running my massage practice from my home in the extra bedroom. And that's how I was sustaining myself. And my daughter was still nursing. So I'd have, someone come and take her for a walk. I would nurse her, take her for a walk. I'd do a client. They'd bring her back. I'd spend some time, have lunch. And I would do that twice a day while she could go for a walk, just to make ends meet. That's what we were doing. That's what I was doing. And yet I was giving free massages to, there was a gentleman in Vancouver who went on a vision quest. His name was Harrison Cito. And somehow I got connected to him, and he felt that single moms needed nurturing. That was what came to him on the top of his mountain. And I said, I will donate one session a month. I will gift it free, even though I was in that position, because that's what a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I actually had to call him back. And I said, the single moms that are coming, they're late for their appointment. They don't show up for their appointment. They don't. And he goes, you know what? I'm hearing this from everybody. And it's nothing against if you're a single mom. I mean, it's not that title, but what it was is that we weren't charging anything. As soon as he implemented, they had to bring baked goods, bring flowers, make something. Honestly, it was night and day, because all of a sudden there was value associated to the treatment. Mm-hmm. And if you don't associate value to your work, then you're not going to have that. You're not going to have that come back to you. I tell people this, and it's shocking. I have a woman right now that I'm working with, and she's in trades. She's a scaffolder, and she's moving from being a scaffolder into doing energy work and Reiki. And so, she's struggling, right? And I'm like, let's go on to Google and see what people in your industry make. And let's see if you're charging. Let's just start with what you're charging. And she's charging about $40 an hour less than people in her area are charging. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, let's talk about that. Why do you feel like your work is an hour less than other people's work? And we broke it out. Now, if you're brand new and you're in your first week or your first month of business, then it's okay to not charge the same as someone who's been doing 25 years. Chances are there's a different level of skill, right? But it's very rare that people sit back and actually do the market research, find out what they need to make, what their value is, what they can charge per dollar sometimes, or charge per hour or per session or per group. A lot of times people just make assumptions. They'll hear other people doing it, and then they make that decision that that's for them. But maybe you're offering more. Maybe you have a studio, this person's working from home. Maybe you add an extra half an hour consultation. Like, you have to really look at the value of what you're bringing someone, and you have to attach dollar value to it. If it messes you up to not charge that right now, because that's when a lot of people get nervous, mm-hmm. it's like, what does it cost you to do your business? What does it cost you to do your marketing? And do even a mini business plan. I have people do reverse engineer, and we reverse engineer for a year. Take a look at what it's costing you and really find out what portion is to you and what value you give to people. And if you have to wonder, then ask your people, can I have a testimonial? What did you receive from this? Would you recommend me? And start to get your sense of value, because there's lots of us that do some great things in the world. I just got off. I was on a TV show and I was interviewing some women that are doing incredible work, nonprofit. They're not getting paid, but that's not their job, right? This is what they do. This is what the, this is, this whole nonprofit is their side gig, and they're sustained in other ways and they don't have an issue. They can run. It is a global organization that works with people in the domestic, that are experiencing domestic violence, and they're very sustained by the work they do. And because they're sustained by the work they do, they can gift their time and no one loses. It's not, there's no value. And this is going to be, people are like going to go up. There's no value in doing what you do, in giving what you give, if the person who's receiving it is getting more value than you. It's not an equal exchange, and that is not sustainable.
Right. Right. That, I really want people to hear that and really let that sink in, because it really is about standing in a place of power about your value, right? And really, really identifying, you know, so what might be holding me back from standing in that place of power? And I know that you do something that you're going to be sharing a little bit more about innovative marketing, and this is all, you know, kind of lines up with that. So there is something that Deb's going to be sharing that will begin to start helping you with all this. So we're going to share that a little bit at the end. But Deb, another thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, you have managed and managed multiple businesses. You know, at one time you said, you know, seven different businesses. So how do you do that, especially for people that are trying to balance it all, right? So they may not have multiple businesses, but they have all kinds of things that are pulling at their energy, all kinds of things that are requiring their energy, maybe, you know, kids and partners and all kinds of other things as well. So what is your recommendation, kind of what is your insights, your guidance to share with people about how they can manage? And as you said, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, well, you'd be working 24 hours a day because you have all these, you know, all these different businesses, but tell people a little bit more about what they can do and what you've learned from being able to manage that and still have balance and still come from a place of serving and a place of spirit-filledness.
Right. Well, I think that's what happens. I think now, first of all, I'll just, you know, I'm a creative. As much as people call me an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, I am by nature a creative. And for me, building companies is a creative process, right? Mm-hmm. It's exciting. I mean, I absolutely love marketing and I love the build and I love the, you know, getting in there and I love the startup experience. And I just love all of that. And That's why it's one of the things why I sustain myself. But in terms of being able to work with multiple projects or multiple companies, it does help if you choose to be able to do to find a theme through those. I mean, when I have seven companies, they're not in seven different divisions. Like one's not in car repair, and one's psychic readings, and one's book production, and by nature, there's an overriding theme that will make it make it healthier for you, or easier for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You can have completely different divisions. Another thing for people to note is that if you build your infrastructure right, which is where I spend a lot of my time, I've studied top performance in business, and I've studied my spiritual work and what it is that I need to do and my dharma and my passion. And I've merged those two together. So I use top performance, like kind of like CEO skills, and apply it to a spiritual business, which people see as an oxymoron, but it's absolutely a brilliant combination because they're both divine, right? You know what you're supposed to do. And then you take the brains or the formulations of how to do anything out there that yields a high result and apply the principles to your dharma. I mean, that's just what I've done, and that's what I teach, and that's what I've studied. And people used to find it really interesting. They would come into my office and they would expect, you know, books on aromatherapy and Ayurveda and massage and lymphatic and chakras, and they found those, but they also found, you know, half my bookcase was filled with business books and marketing books and performance books and finance books. And they'd be like, oh, that's kind of interesting, which is why people call me a professional hippie, which I actually own. At first I was like, that's kind of funky, but I actually own it. And I think what people also forget is that if you want to build multiple companies, right? So like right now I'm running four companies. It's the same CFO. It's the same marketing team. It's the same, my social media team They just work. They have three companies that they work with, but it's the same person I'm talking to. So our staff meetings aren't 4 hours. They're 2 hours about four companies instead of an hour about each. So find your right team. Find your right team that can serve all of your companies. Does it matter whether they're social mediaing about my intuitive sessions, or does it matter if they're social mediaing about the brain product we have? Like, does it really matter? No, they know what they need to do. We have a platform. And so people get really like, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine having four businesses. It's because they're imagining four whole different infrastructures, but it's not necessarily the different infrastructure. And when you play in the cream, I call it, like, there's things that we do in our business and there's things we do in our life. I don't care whether it's with the kids, with your partner, with your family, with your social life. I don't care. It's, there's water, like stuff that, you know, stays on your to-do list that could probably not get done for 6 months and isn't going to make an impact either way. Then there's milk, those things that you kind of need to take care of, maybe writing the visa, you know, putting it off, all those things. And then there's the cream. I always at night, look at my day the next day. I take my planner. I actually I produce a planner. So I take my planner and I make a separate sheet and I look at the things that need doing. And I literally highlight the cream. What is absolutely going to fulfill what it is that I need to do. I know my spiritual why. I know my dharma. I know what I'm here to do. And what's going to help me get there? If the only thing I did that day was that, if I had to rearrange anything, what could be rearranged and what should not be rearranged? Mm-hmm. What do you get out of bed and do even if you don't feel like it? Mm-hmm. That's living in a top performance lifestyle. And so you'll always be doing what's important. And then some of the other stuff will just take care of itself. Like, take care of this problem and you might take care of three problems. And yes, I do have a life, you know, went to George Strait this weekend in Seattle and went to, you know, listen to, you know, Chris Stapleton and da, da, da. And I had some good time and, you know, did I do some texts on the way driving to Seattle? And yeah, sure. Right. But it doesn't matter because I'm in purpose and I'm in passion and I'm happy about what I do. So I don't know if that helps, but I hope it does.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love to that you really focused in on, as you said, you know, the one thing that day. And what I really took away from, I mean, there's a lot I took away from that, but I want people to just really kind of breathe that in, soak it in. Because what I really took away too is the whole idea of being in that top performance is really energetically focusing, you know, energetically focusing in on, okay, in that cream spot, what is something I absolutely can do today? You know, is one thing I could absolutely do today that is going to move things forward in what I'm here to do in service, you know, because that's what we're talking about when we're talking about heart-centered entrepreneurs, coaches, healers, you know, I call them spiritualpreneurs. You know, it's really about, you know, bringing forth what it is that you're called to do, bringing forth that light, you know, into the world in a way that's grounded. You know, I came from the corporate world. And so, you know, bringing in that groundedness as you're talking about is very powerful because we have to be grounded but we need to have a blend. So I love the way you talk about it and really kind of break it down in a very simple, but you know, a very focused way. So I appreciate that. Now, I know you have something and I wanted to, and we have to have you come back because we've just scratched the surface, but what you've even talked about today, if people just start with a couple of these key tips, just start with that and take some action. And I always say to people, you know, you maybe listen to this podcast and there's no accent you're listening to it. And so take one action to provide a demonstration to the universe that you're ready. You know, you're ready to move forward. You're ready that, you know, you want to take this information and you want to be a wealthy healer. You know, that's an intention that you're holding. So to do that, you really want to take an action. So Deb, I know that on our episode page, we have a link to an amazing thing that you do on an ongoing basis. So can you tell people a little bit about innovative marketing? And people can go to the episode page and get that link. But tell us a little bit about what you do in those really powerful sessions. I know that those are activations, and I know they're also, you know, they're just that blend of being able to support people energetically and then, you know, really some key things that people can do from a performance aspect. But talk a little bit about what you see as this gathering of innovative marketing.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for that. I do think that I want to highlight something that you said, Sharon, and that is, when you talked about the word simple. Mm-hmm. When people ask me, how did you get here? What did you do there? Like I get asked how a lot. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I teach how. I don't really tell people what to do unless mm-hmm. I teach you how to do it. Mm-hmm. And that is a absolute deal breaker for your banking. Like that's a deal breaker for the ability to be a wealthy barber, nice, wealthy healer. It's really in the simple things. Like on my website, you'll see it's the moments, not the hours, that will shift your business. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the CEO tips that I teach is really about harnessing 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like I can send myself personally, not an AI, not a blah, blah, blah. I personally can send anywhere from 100 to 200 text messages in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so can you. Like it's really capturing the moments, because people are like, I don't have time. And I'm like, that's not a good thing to say to someone like me. We're going to sit down and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But one of the areas that people are really missing on, I've blanketed as innovative marketing, because people think that there's pretty well, we can do online or offline, you know, mm-hmm. traditional or social, right? And there's a whole world out there. I mean, we're doing one of them right now. One of the classes that I teach, it is 2 to 3 hours just on how to be a podcast guest mm-hmm. that will get you asked over and over and over and over again. So you don't have to go and, you know, try to find a podcast show and what should I say and, blah, blah, and all those kind of things. Because podcasting is part of innovative marketing. Podcasting, radio, TV, television is very easy to get onto now. And people, depending on the age that you are that are listening, I mean, I'm in my 50s. TV was meant for people that really had, you know, gone to broadcasting school. They had mm-hmm. years behind the desk on the news, you know, like sure. TV was very elusive. It was not accessible. So we have TV that's accessible. Stages, you know, podcasts are a stage. A Facebook Live is a stage, mm-hmm. right? Let's show you how to do that Facebook Live as a stage that's going to allow you to share the message that you want to share in a way that people want to hear it, not on how you want to say it. Mm-hmm. On how they're going to hear it, right? Right. Understanding your avatar. The books, the power of a book is, I can't even begin to tell you, the opening factor of a book. So we talk about the power of books. If you want to do a book, if you want to do an ebook, if you want to do a mini course, if you want to do all these things that are kind of called innovative marketing or innovative media, QR mm-hmm. codes. You know, I talk about people like, not putting your phone number on your business card. Now, if you're out there and you don't have a phone number on your business card, or you don't even have a business card because you think people don't use them, I'm going to tell you from someone who's had a lot of success in the arena of acquisition and business, that's not true. And it's interesting because people, I don't know why I'm saying this. So obviously Sharon, you know, someone needs to hear it, but so a lot of people have their business cards and all it is a QR code. That is not an attractive piece of paper on my desk. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pick that thing up 15 times before I call it. Right. But it's interesting because people will put a QR code with an email and a website and a contact page just to get a hold of somebody. And here's something, just put your phone number. Mm-hmm. People are like, yo, I don't want people to call you. I'm like, you what? They're like, well, I don't want people to just call me. I'm like, so you'd rather send them a code, send them a link, send them to, oh, let's do it. Let's do a funnel. And then they go here and then they get onto, oh, Facebook Messenger. And then we're going to do all of this to make a meeting by Zoom when you could have just put a phone number there. Yeah. So there's things like that people right. don't see as innovative marketing, but just a reminder
Very simple things, right? To do, right? And it's very personal. I mean, I have that on my business card. Absolutely. You know, and yeah. I even say it, you know, this is my cell. I mean, you don't have to call an 800 number. You know, you can actually text me and, mm-hmm. you know, I will receive it. And so, you know, I love that you're sharing that, because that's just kind of the whole idea of how would you want to experience someone? You'd want to, if you really get excited or can feel curious, you know, you'd want to find the most direct way for your own time to also be able to connect with them. So I love some of these things that you're sharing that, you know, that for people, they might have heard, you know, I mean, there's a lot of gurus and people and techie people that will tell you whatever, and it's fine. We're not saying it's wrong. We're just saying that, you know, you've got to look at how things line up for you and how you're wired too. And especially I see for people that, that oftentimes talk about not being techie. I mean, you know, we can have people do tech, but something as simple as you're talking about putting your phone number, you know, putting your cell phone, you know, being accessible. I mean, you can choose whether or not you want to, how you want to respond to people. I mean, just because someone calls you doesn't mean you have to pick up no matter what, where you are, what you're doing, but you do have that opportunity to reconnect to them. So I love that. And so that's some of the things that you do in this innovative marketing that I just think is just so wonderful, because then people can get, you know, they can really move past those beliefs that, you know, well, I'm just not good at this, or I'm just not good at that, because we're all not good at everything anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's just a misnomer, that we can be good at everything, but we can focus in on the things that, you know, can make the biggest impact, as you said, the cream. I love that. I'm going to definitely keep that.
And I want to talk to that a little bit. So thank you, Sharon, for saying that, because a lot of people will be like, I'm just not that techie. And because I say things like QR codes and podcasts and TV and whatever stages and books are like, I'm not media. I'm not comfortable yet. I'm not this. And I'm like, well, if you're putting posts on a social media platform, guess what? You are techie and you are in media and you are looking for exposure and you want results. And what I say to people is that it's not difficult. It is not a big shift to go from a Facebook post or a Facebook live or a live to go to a podcast. It's not a big shift. The big shift happens in when you do something on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever your game is, LinkedIn, you have a restricted audience, only a percentage of people. Let's use Facebook. So if you're really good, I mean, you're really good and you're putting out things and the algorithms are picking you up, at best it's 10%, if not, it's 5%. So you do a Facebook Live or what have you, or you do a post and 5% of your people see it. But if you're on a podcast, you now have gone from one to maximum, because a podcast is talking to a larger audience. And it's just like this. I mean, we're just talking here. We're having conversations. Some podcasts are not are audio. Some are audio and video, whatever your comfort level is. And it's about getting those impressions. And I'll tell you, once you start to make that move, it's interesting because I am in my 50s. And so I'll have a lot of people from 40 and up go, oh gosh, can you help me? Because I'm not techie. And I'm like, it doesn't take much to flip that conversation that you used to have at a cafe with somebody, that you used to have at a trade show with somebody, that you used to have at a networking with somebody, to be able to flip it over. They're so shocked. And this is not a difficult thing. And then it's interesting because I'll have 20s and 30 year olds that go, oh, well, you're probably doing it old school. And I'm like, well, I had someone come up to me and they're like, if you just did more on social media, right? This is when I was doing a lot of belly to belly and flipping things over. They're like, if you just did more on social media, could you imagine where you'd be? And I happened to be at that time distributing some products that I really love and adore about a company. And I was number one in 10 countries out of 200,000 people in sales and acquisition. And I'd only done 4 posts on Facebook. And I said, you know what? I think I got this. So if you're out there and you think that you have to move over to technology and leave behind your skills, your gifts, how you work in the world when you're sitting across from somebody at a yoga studio, you don't. Here's the power that I teach in the class, is the merging of the two. Right? You don't leave one behind and become something new. You bring forward what works and merge it with a new adaptive way of taking to market. That's it. That's all.
Right.
That's it. That's all.
Well, yeah, I could talk to you all day. So that's why we have to get to that, because we really did just scratch the surface. But is there anything in closing, Deb, that you want to say? I want to really encourage people to go to the episode page and you'll have this link and go and sign up, because you can, you know, you'll get the information of when the next one is, and then you'll get into Deb's community and she can support you in all those ways that she's talking about. And she can really give you more insights and you can share in that, in that discovery. And so is there anything you want to share in closing, Deb?
I do. Well, first of all, thank you very much. And yes, our gift to everybody is to come and receive a complimentary innovative marketing class, which has incredible value because you're valuable. Mm-hmm. One thing that I want to say in terms of if you want to become a wealthy healer, if the word healthy disturbs you, we got some work to do. Mm-hmm. Because truly to the fiber of your being, you want to be able to know that you are flowing and you are abundant. And as you are, so it will be. Like as you are, so it will be. Never underestimate the power of how people see you. And when you're in your power and when you're in your glory and when you're able to give and when you're able to receive and all of that is happening for you, everything will change around you. And I promise you, it will become easier and you will be the magnet that you want. I mean, what happens when you choose to put yourself through this little process is that you get brighter. Like you literally get brighter and people are attracted to you and things do flow. You've heard many people many times that are in that what they would consider wealthy. And they said, you know what, when I was broke, I couldn't get anyone to buy me dinner. But all of a sudden, now that I have money, now that I'm in a place in abundance, people want to take me for lunch. They want to take me for dinner and they want to do all sorts of things, right? Because there's an energy and there's an ease and there's a glow that happens when you're not in stress or distress, or trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet, or not being able to go back to your best friend's wedding because you just can't pay to fly across the country, mm-hmm. like those kind of things. And it really comes down to that we all deserve. And so as it is, you can be abundant and then tithe where you need to tithe. But when you have more, you can give more, but not just from a financial standpoint, from a time standpoint, from a volunteer standpoint, one of the favorite things that I get to do is I go and work for Amnesty International. They clearly don't pay me. And it is actually one of the things that I love to do the most. I don't even care. But because I don't have to worry about taking time away from a sustainable business to take care of me and my kids, because it's joy. So anyways, I know I rambled on and there was more than one thing in there, but I just want people to know that they're worth it. It's available and they absolutely deserve it.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, we'll definitely have you back on. So again, I want to encourage everyone, go to the episode page and get that link so that you can go to the Innovative Marketing Group. And I just thank you so much, Deb, for your light, for your just your service and your energy and just really supporting people to the activation. I really feel like we had a powerful activation here today. I can feel like I got goosebumps. So just really appreciate you. And we will see you back here next time, everybody. We see you living lives of love, joy, peace, health, prosperity, in all ways, always. See you back here next time, everybody.
Do you hate selling, yet love to be of service? In my free masterclass, you will discover 3 soulful secrets to client conversations that feel joyful, easy, and fun. Using these secrets, one of my clients made $8,000 in 1 week. And another client made $100,000 in less than 6 months. Register now at www.coachingfromspirit.com/masterclass.